Mira a la izquierda, mira a la derecha. ¿Qué ves? ¿Dónde estás? In a world that seems to change daily, what will you do next? Welcome to the Next Steps Show with Peter Vasquez, a starting point for discussion y un poco de dirección. ¿Qué tal, ladies and gentlemen, señoras y señores? Sí, soy yo, tu conservative New Yorker, aquí en the WYSL Studios, como every single day a las 12 de la tarde. Why? Because I love having my lunch with you guys. See, and the thing is, I've gotten so good at this radio thing that I could sit here and eat a pizza and you don't even know it. Just kidding.
Make it a Cuban sandwich when I'm around.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, that voice that you just heard should sound very familiar to you. Why? Well, hey, I'll tell you what. Let me do my introduction, though, first, Luis, because, see, I've had you on as a guest, but we've talked about what you do, in life or business. You've hosted the show for me when I couldn't make it. Thank you very much. By the way, over the top. Thank you. Made me nervous. I'm like, oh, gosh, listeners are going to be like, hey, we want the conservative Cubano. But anywho.
You can have, how about a choice of your both, A and B.
There you go.
All of the above, right?
We'll have to do a couple more shows together where we show the difference. But I haven't really had you on as a candidate yet and talk about candidate issues. I love your story. So let me go through my official introduction, Luis. Right. So ladies and gentlemen, today we welcome the candidate for the 55th New York State District, hailing legally from the Republic of Cuba. He was sent to the United States at the age of 12 by his parents to avoid conscription into the Fidel Castro militia. You were alive when Fidel Castro were taken over?
Oh, I watched the whole revolution. Actually, my mother's brother and sister participated in the revolution.
Interesting.
I can show you photographs, yeah.
Oh, man. So let me continue here, right? Because this guy is dynamic. He's an HR, a human resource leader with a rich career at Xerox. If you guys remember Xerox, right? It was one of those pretty prominent companies here in Rochester that, is no more because of New York State, and Lehigh Valley Hospital. Our guest's journey is a story of resilience and optimism. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned as we delve into the political world of the Honorable Luis Martinez, candidate for the New York State Senate District 55. Bienvenido al Next Step Show, Luis.
I'll eat a couple of drinks on that one. That's really good.
The coffee you brought is phenomenal.
How about that? Yeah.
Luis, I mean what I say. I truly believe that you are a dynamic individual. When I heard that you were running for this seat, I'm like, wow, finally we have candidates that understand not just the political side of society, but society in general. Right. See, the thing that I fear now, especially the person, the person that's opposing you on this seat, the incumbent, even though they tout this whole skin color thing, they don't really understand, I don't think, what it means to come. Mike Peace from Bethel Express, he's got these T-shirts, and I had to buy one that says something along the lines of something good that came from the hood. And the thing is, you and I are that. We are something good that came from the hood. Yeah. And at some point, Luis, we decided that that we weren't going to be part of the mantra. I grew up being told what's in front of me I couldn't have. You watched an entire country go from a pseudo a free country to what we have today, which is Cuba.
We went from a free country to tyranny because you might say, Batista, the before Castro, but the President Batista was corrupt and this and that. You think we don't have corruption in New York City? You think we don't have corruption in Chicago? You think we don't have corruption in Las Vegas, or L.A.? There's corruption everywhere. And the extent of the corruption under Batista's regime was such that an armed revolution took place. But Cuba was the place to go to. Havana was the destination for honeymooners and all of that. Las Vegas barely existed. I mean, it was nothing in the 1950s. And even Miami, I can show you photographs of Miami and Havana. in comparison in the same year, and there's nothing like Havana in the 1950s. And I talk, well, most of the people who used to do things like honeymoon and travel to Cuba in those days, most of them are gone by now, because they would be at least 20 years older than me. But the point is that that was a destination. Havana was a destination. Mm-hmm. And now it's in ruins. I'm not exaggerating.
The city itself is in ruins?
Everything. The city's in ruins. Imagine not taking care of your house for 60 years. There's no material. There's no workmanship now because the people haven't been trained to do anything.
Right.
There's nothing to eat either. I mean, the people who go to Havana, oh, I want to see Havana before it's ruined. I mean, what an insult. Ruined by what? By jobs? Ruined by department stores? Ruined by cars that actually function? Ruined by education? Ruined by food? Ruined by hospitals? Do not go to Cuba to see what you thought you should see, because frankly, you're not helping anything.
Exactly.
You know, I have never been back to Cuba, and I will not go back until it's no longer communist. You know,
I can't argue with that, but you do have family there, so concerning.
We used to have, the last one died. It was my mother's younger sister who participated as a revolutionary back in her day, and she died a few years ago. And that was the last remaining blood relative that I have there. And the other people, again, you know, a generation before mine. And so.
Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you, I look forward to the days to sit on one of those beautiful beaches that I see
the pictures of
in Cuba and grabbing one of those Cuban authentic handmade cigars and just kick back with you with a little bit of...
You can have the cigar. I'll have the Cuban sandwich. You know?
You'll have the Cuban sandwich. Oh, you don't do cigars?
No, I'm a failed Cuban. You know, the thing is, I don't do cigars. I can't dance salsa, and I don't watch baseball. So, you know, as a Cuban, I failed the test.
That's funny. I don't do sports either. Anyways, hey, before we go too much further, I do want to acknowledge a couple national observances that we have in the United States, right? Like, this is National Appreciation Day, right? I mean, for teachers.
Okay.
And the thing is, I never set out to be an educator, per se.
Right.
Not like a school student. I don't have a teacher's degree or nothing. Mm-hmm. I have an MBA. But when I was teaching at Charles Finney for five years, I started off as a substitute. Mm-hmm. And my role as an adjunct professor... At Roberts Wesleyan, I love teaching. So,
exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a teacher, kudos to you.
Yes.
Thank you for your service.
Exactly.
And listen, we see you, we hear you, and I mean, it's because of you that our future is either going to be bright or it's not going to be bright. Especially for those teachers that stand up against the tyranny. You are my heroes. I also want to address another couple of these awareness days, Luis, which I think is appropriate, right? Because we live in a state, we live in a country that you hear a lot about, oh, we're here to help people with disabilities, regardless of what disabilities they have, right? But for some reason, a lot of these processes that are supposed to help people with disabilities end up being barriers, right?
Exactly.
So today is National Barrier Awareness Day.
Oh, wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a day to celebrate. Let's come together around people with disabilities, physical, mental, it doesn't matter. People with autism, people with developmental disabilities, people with physical, I mean, everything, Luis. Let's work and work hard to remove barriers. But I'm not talking about, you know, installing, you know, the simplicity of installing a ramp to get into your house.
Right.
I'm talking about removing, really, societal barriers.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Like
stigma,
if you're
stigma. Stigma is one big one. And misunderstandings or a lack of understanding. And I have two stories to tell you. One about the teachers and the second one about disabilities when you're ready.
Absolutely. And hold on to those because I want to integrate those. But when we had Campaign Dion, I mean, they talked about situations. And these guys, you'd never know they had an issue. I mean, they don't even look it.
Right.
And they described situations where they were kind of forced in a corner by themselves.
Right.
Just because once people found out they had a disability, they got kind of shunned.
Right.
That's in 2024 here in the United States.
No,
so, ladies and gentlemen, National Barriers or Barriers Awareness Month. Remove those barriers. And if you're a teacher, listen, on graduation day, like my post says on my Facebook, right? Find that student. I know we got the valedictorians and the salutatorians and all those other Torian types of people that we praise. I say this, Find that individual that struggled the most, that's graduating, the one that had the IEP, the one that had the extra support and had to stay after because things didn't come to so easy.
Yeah.
Because that individual may not be the valedictorian,
right.
but his Mount Everest that he climbed
right.
was probably
Absolutely
bigger
right.
and higher than any
that's
that
right.
can be climbed.
That's
so,
right.
anywho, just a little national. Mm-hmm. You know, I like bringing those because I learned so much
mm-hmm.
When I... I learned so much when I put those and I researched
right.
those things.
There you
Luis.
Go.
It's but
a good thing to
about
know
you.
About. Right. So,
but before you tell us yeah. your bio,
right.
I want you to tell us who Luis Martinez was before you became the Luis Martinez that you are today.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Well, a little bit of the history that he already mentioned. I was born and raised in Cuba when I was finishing sixth grade. My parents sent me along to the United States. Why? Because, as he mentioned, Castro was conscripting children into the militia. I was already marching in uniform in the militia. And so what they were doing then, which we can discuss later here now, what they were doing then is separating parents from their children. They didn't want the children to be taught what we had all been taught to that point, and they wanted the state to step in and do all the teaching, do all the instructing, do all the indoctrination that they eventually did. So when they talked about, for example, reading, you know, the literacy programs, they were all indoctrination programs. Of course, they had to learn to read, but everything that was taught was one-sided, and it was all communist manifestos and things of that nature. And my parents were onto that. At that time, I was attending a Methodist American school called Candler College, which went literally from kindergarten through college for expatriates. But I was surrounded by people who were from the United States, from Canada, from Europe. So I had a diversity of thought, a diversity of cultures there, and I loved it. I loved that school. I went there for 3 years before immigrating. So then when we came to the United States, eventually my parents caught up. By the way, we came here legally, all of us. And why? Because in that era, you had to have a host family. You had to have somebody waiting for you who had already signed paperwork that they would take care of you until you got yourself going. And we had that. So I will, when I speak about immigration, I'm talking about legal immigration, and then we'll get to that topic eventually.
Thanks. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, si soy yo tu conservative New Yorican aquí on the WYSL Studios, y hoy tengo el conservative Cubano candidate for New York State Senate District 55. Hey, we got a candidate here. I know you got questions. 346-3000. We'll be right back. No te vayas.
In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified general or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
For the last couple of years, Joe Robach has been telling you about Flower City Collision in Henrietta, saying that it was started by a veteran along with his son Zach. Hi, my name is Greg Sadwick, and I am that veteran. I want to thank the WYSL listeners for their support over the last couple of years. During those years, not only have I experienced the gratification of providing you the best repairs and customer service, it has also allowed me the opportunity to see my son develop as a young professional. So remember, Flower City Collision for your collision repair needs, and thank you for supporting our locally owned family business.
Youth for Christ Rochester is growing. With the help from the John R. Wegman Foundation, we're adding Saturday mornings back to basketball, while the Saunders Foundation brings back skills and drills for the spring and summer. Our middle school girls program will be starting in a second school this fall. Watch for a new name change for that program. But we need your help. Make a one-time gift of $300 or a monthly gift of $25 to sponsor a kid for a year. Go to yfcrochester.org/donate.
Now that the good weather's back, you'll want to make sure your vehicle is in tip-top shape. Whether it's for the daily commute or that vacation you're planning, for quality, affordable vehicle service, rely on Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge Road. Rock Auto has what your car, truck, or SUV needs. Oil change, brake service, suspension, or front-end work, exhaust, air conditioning, and tires. Check their Google reviews as one of Rochester's best for customer satisfaction. Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge, just east of Mount Reed, 434-5010.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show.
Welcome back to the Next Step Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is your conservative New Yorker. Hey, Bob, let that play a little extra longer, like 10 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear that beat? Listen, it is Tuesday. Stand up on your chair, because I know the stress is already building, and just let this song, right, roll that stress out of you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Bob. I truly appreciate it. I hope you're having a phenomenal second day of the work week. So Luis Martinez is with us. He's the candidate for the New York State Senate District 55. Señor, gracias por staying here with us. Now, we left into break talking about what you were doing in Cuba as a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you have a little bit more to that story.
Right. I just wanted to mention a couple of things that are cultural in nature now that Peter has mentioned teachers and disabilities. And with regard to teachers in a cultural sense, in Cuba in those days, teachers were revered. And I don't mean just college professors. I mean teachers, any teacher. There was a relative of my mother in my extended family who was a teacher, maestra. And I remember people revered maestra. They called her maestra all the time. You know, I can't remember her real name because we were taught she is maestra, and she's actually the one that taught me, for example, how to read an analog clock back when I was a child. And I remember her being someone that everybody just respected. It's the same way with, you know, professors. If you were a college professor, you were the top of the pyramid of what they called classicism and all that. Physicians, frankly, not as well regarded as physicians were more like considered in my culture in the day. They were, of course, they were honored and respected, but they had kind of a utility value, mm-hmm. if you will, which is different than here in the United States.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the second topic is about the disabilities, and I was going to mention that when I was little, I had a younger sister who only lived to age 7. She was deeply developmentally, disabled, and she barely walked and never spoke a word, and then eventually she died of natural causes when she was 7 years old, and I'll never forget that. And the fact how my parents struggled just maintaining her, you know, her alive and getting things done for her and resources that were very scarce back in those days. The last point on that is that there's someone in my family who has worked in the Ark of Monroe, if you know what that is, mm-hmm. the homes for people who are disabled. And he did work with adult men, which is really difficult when you consider that these men are in their 60s and it's just a lot of hard work. Fortunately, we do have resources like that, specifically in our county. I don't know about other places, but when I see it, there's actually a group home within walking distance of my house. And I deeply respect the work that's done there and for the people who have to live there because they can't live alone and those kinds of things that are useful and valid and valuable in our society. And we respect them enough to put the necessary resources behind it and get it done.
Absolutely. You know, I learned while I was in Afghanistan that not just in Afghanistan, but many of these death to America countries is what I call them, right? Yeah. Even some of the ones that we're seeing now, actually, they don't just frown on people becoming educators or lawyers or doctors, you know, stuff like that. Right. They kill them if they find out. So when I met a teacher, and I mean, because we did a lot of work and mm-hmm. I worked for a general, so we got to travel. Scary, but fun.
Wow.
And teachers would say that we would meet.
Yeah.
So we would have these meetings, But when we go in to supposedly meet with somebody, they had snuck in another group of people in another office that we kind of cut through to get to have a meeting with them. Because if it got out that they were educators or nurses or whatever they may be,
that's what happened in Mao Zedong's China. You know that Mao Zedong murdered people even if they wore eyeglasses because they were considered intellectuals if they wore eyeglasses, and they started murdering people who wore eyeglasses. I mean, it was just... that's the level of collectivism that collectivism sounds like a, well, you know, it's really kind of a mild word, but in fact, it is very, very destructive because the people who are at the top of the heap in collectivism, they believe that they and only they have the ability, the right, the obligation, and the resources to boss everybody else onto death. Oh, yeah. Collectivism is really a sick way to see the world. And I know people who think like that, and they'll tell you that. You know?
I think we all do. I call him the buffoon in the White House, and then there's Hocus Pocus, who magically is our governor.
Well, I'll tell you one that's for real. I mean, yes, your example is real too, but let me give you something that hits home. There's a professor in RIT whom I know, and we debate these topics all the time, and his worldview is that the state will take care of you. Because how do I know? I asked him one time, I said, Chris, who is responsible for you, Chris, for your welfare? Who exactly? Now, I would expect a grown man to tell me, of course I am. And he said, it depends on what government, what state you're in or what government you have. In other words, this man who teaches at RIT has given up his agency to an unknown, nebulous, whatever, because he doesn't feel that he's the person to take care of himself. So, I mean, this is a person who's teaching our children. You're paying, parents are paying $40,000-$50,000 a year or more to be taught by people like this. A collectivist mind is very, very, very destructive. Yeah. And because, you know, he thinks that in the end run, he's going to end up at the top of the heap and not be eaten up from below. But those people are just blow with the wind. They're useful today and useless tomorrow.
It's ideology. And the person that you're running against very much pushes the agenda where everybody should be not just dependent on. See, and this is the part that people are missing.
Right.
You can't just depend on the state for help under this whole progressive movement.
Right.
You have to basically be submissive to their help.
Exactly.
Which is what gets me.
You have to surrender
because,
your agency. Yes,
right. So, and the thing is, they use words like, and you hear me say this all the time. See, I believe words like inclusivity and equality are very much conservative in nature.
Exactly.
And as conservatives and Christians, we should absolutely embrace that. I mean, that's part of American culture.
Right.
They've cooped those words to make those words and present them in a way where now you got a highly educated man, I have to assume, teaching at a well-regarded college, a well-established college that people pay a lot of money to go to, preaching victimhood.
Right. Exactly.
Submissiveness.
That's not.
Yep. I mean, I get the whole, hey, government can help. If you need a little help, go get food stamps, go get whatever. I mean, whatever. We need that as a hand me up.
Right.
But you see, Sandra Brooke, who you're running against, is very much, I mean, you see it when you go to her office at the Village Gate, you could see all her windows are placed with nothing. There's no encouragement.
Right.
There's no, hey, come in and let's have an encouraging word. It's all about government programs, government funding, and then to boot.
Yeah.
Right. People say, oh, you guys talk race all the time. Well, I mean, how can you not when that entire movement is sitting here telling you that because you're black or brown, you must need government help? It's insanity to me. But talking about collectivism, let's switch to one of the pillars on your platform, which is education.
Yep.
Right. On your website or on your stance, it says that you stand or you believe that a strong education system is the basis for a strong republic. And you also say that it's not only a social imperative to invest in educational success, but it's a matter of national security.
Absolutely.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, because you have to have an educated populace who not only is educated as individuals, but also can gather and put a man on the moon, or gather and create better cardiology programs, or gather and create better universities. And so any aspect of life that you touch, whether it's agriculture or planetary systems, you need an educated population. The other aspect that you need about that educated population is that they have to be divine sovereign individuals. They have to be sovereign in their own agency, contrary to what that man, Chris, said. They have to be sovereign in their agency, that they are responsible for their own well-being, to be as successful in any capacity, in any part of life, in any civilization on the planet. You have to know what you're doing. You have to, you know, relative to the organization that or the community where you live in. Some communities are less, intellectual than ours. Others are more intellectual, but nevertheless, you have to adapt, educate yourself to survive and thrive in that community.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Honorable Luis Martinez, candidate for New York State Senate District 55, 346-3000. Oh my God, it's been a half an hour and you haven't put this guy in the hot seat. What are you doing? Hey, we'll be right back. No te vayas. Right here in the WYSL stations with your Next Step Show.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
Chinito, dale, alo, flito,
you know this song, Luis?
No, that
El
one.
Chino. Yeah. This is El Gran Combo de Puerto Rico. I played this for my wife when we met her along with Brujeria.
Right.
I used to say, tú eres mi chinita.
Let's talk about that. Close. My mother used to call my father Chino. And the terms of endearment are very different.
They are.
From the American terms of endearment.
So
let's talk about that when you get a chance.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Next Step Show. It looks like we've got it. Señor Keith. Keith, thank you for calling the Next Step Show.
Again. Well, you did kind of chastise the audience by saying you'd gone half an hour without a call. So Mr. Martinez seems to be the one that I could ask several history questions, both having to do with FDR for the young people as Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The first one has to do with the Depression. He created the New Deal, including such entities as the WPA, the Works Progress Administration, and then a book was written entitled The Forgotten Man. So my first question has to do thumbs up, thumbs down. I've heard some experts say that the way President Roosevelt conducted the Depression, he made it go on longer than it had to, but I heard other historians say that he was really the saving grace. Now, that book, The Forgotten Man, takes Roosevelt to task for making the Depression go longer than it really had to, and Americans should really understand it took all the way until us getting into World War II to finally really get us out of the Depression. People thought, well, we got out beforehand, but we really didn't. It really took us getting the arsenal of democracy up and running to get us fully out of that debacle. So that's my first question for you, Mr. Martinez. Thumbs up or thumbs down on how Roosevelt conducted our way out of the Depression? And the second one has to do with World War II, when it was said maybe after his term and then somewhat after historians evaluated that he could have done a lot more to save victims of the Holocaust, by example, bombing the railroad tracks leading to the death camps, even to the point that maybe Roosevelt is looked upon somewhat as anti-Jewish, that he turned away from the Jewish people, could have done more. My final example on that, there were 600 passengers on board the St. Louis. They were turned away. The St. Louis was sent back to Europe, where many of those passengers, Jewish, ended up in Auschwitz. So if you know of either of these with Roosevelt having to do with the Depression and then our World War II participation, certainly maybe saved or could have saved people caught up in the Holocaust. I was wondering what you, Mr. Martinez, thought on all of this.
So let me start with the first one. Thumbs down on the topic of how Roosevelt approached our economy. In those days, you got to put the context in place. In those days, socialism was very popular in Western Europe. People wanted to achieve socialism or socialistic policies. Why? Because they do not, go back to what I said earlier, they do not trust the individual to figure out what's best for him or herself. They want the government to define what could be good for each person, what they call the common good. The common good is liberty, but they want to usurp the common good with socialist policy. So Roosevelt, to give him credit, he thought that that was the way out of the woods was socialism or socialistic policies, okay? Mm-hmm. Things that have more to do with the community and less to do with the individual. Why? Because, again, just like today, they do not trust the individual, which is you and me and Peter and your wife and your children. They do not trust those people. They want the elites, the educated, the people in the ivory towers to dictate what everybody else should be doing or could be doing. So that takes care of that. In other words, is it true that his policies dragged on the depression longer? Yeah, because he was relying on government programs and not on individual tenacity and perseverance and ingenuity and intellect and camaraderie and everything. They don't trust that. They want to control it. And it took Second World War to fire up all of the different engines that we had, literally and figuratively, in our economy, including for building tanks and airplanes and weapons. And that all came from the private sector. The men that landed on the moon in 1969 got there with the lowest bidder. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It was the lowest bidders who got the people on the moon. It wasn't the government. The government was, a project manager. But all the intellect, all the advances in science that are necessary for that and any other effort come from individuals and associations of individuals. The government gets in the way, but that's my view on that. Now, on the other topic about could FDR have done something different? Could FDR have done something different to prevent Jews from going into Auschwitz? But I don't know those details, but it wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me if he had been an anti-Semitic, if he had been a Jew doubter, if not a Jew hater in his time. But I have no evidence of that. On the other hand, I wouldn't be surprised if you had evidence of that. Thank you, Keith.
Appreciate your call. I really, really do. I think we got another caller. Ellen, I appreciate you calling the Next Step Show.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you, too. I want to know what his thoughts are in Rochester, the comprehensive plans, and also the taking of millions of dollars in government grants. If he could comment on the effects of those type of things that government is doing.
When you say comprehensive plans, what do you mean by that?
Well, for instance, out here in Avon, we just got a survey to ask us all kinds of questions about what we would like to see on a comprehensive plan as to what to do in the village and town. It has to do with zoning of all different areas and different ways that they have planned out for us, for multiple family homes, for businesses overlay, with apartments on top. And it's a lot, and it's a multiple choice. You can check other to say what you would prefer. But then when they talk about economic development and they're taking grant money of $10 million, I went to a meeting last night and stood up and said, well, wait a second, that's going to cause inflation and property values to go up. Am I correct?
Well, I don't know this is just my opinion based on what little I know about this topic, but I'll just say this in general. At the 10,000-foot level, Albany wants to control what happens in the zoning of every district in the state. They want that. Again, the collectivist mind, they believe that they know what's best for your community, Ellen and Avon, and what's best in Pittsburgh, and what's best in Fairport, Irondequoit, and Webster. They have that mental set. You cannot dissuade them from that mental set. what you have to do is basically vote them out of office, because you're not going to get them to change their mind about they believe that, you know, some communities are not the right way and they're demographically that they want, and therefore they want to insert housing by throwing millions of dollars as, if you will, the carrot to cause people to move in their direction, only to grab money and you know, in different ways. And that's the problem with when they, even though New York can't print money, only, states cannot print money, but even so, they the largesse coming out of Washington to the states, they can throw the money around as if they printed it.
Yeah. Right. Ellen, thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, lines are open, 346-3000. You know, that was a great answer. And the thing is, the comprehensive plans, they kind of vary between, you know, the different areas that they're trying to. And she's right. Some of them are like, they're just bizarre.
Yeah.
But they present them pretty, like they do almost everything else.
But so there are agendas behind them.
On education, I want to challenge you a little bit on a couple points that you have on there, Luis. You mentioned about a fight to maintain abundant state funding to support all the schools. And then you also have another point that talked, which I love this one, by the way, champion local control of curriculum and teacher evaluation, two issues that are not at the local control right now. Last time I looked at the city school district, for example, and I understand this is the same for all districts, there isn't like a curriculum development committee or anything like that, although there are other committees. So curriculum is being, as I understand it, dictated from the state, coming on down. There's one person in the office or in the district that kind of filters through that. But I also looked at districts, for example, like City School District, they're getting an awful lot of money per pupil, but producing zero. So my question is, is it really an issue of more funding? Should there be a focus there, or should we put more of the focus on the local control?
It's not more funding in general. It's more about funding which buckets in particular.
That's an interesting point.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I see the per pupil expenses in certain public schools, and not just here, but elsewhere. But I've also served on the board of a charter school who could only get 66% of whatever the public educators got. This charter school could only operate by regulation with 66% of the same per pupil, and they got it done better than the public schools. So, and I can talk about that and other aspects of that.
And that stands true across the board, by the way.
Yeah,
look at Charles Finney, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, education is the most the most foundational aspect of society and the most important topic for me. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's me, your conservative New Yorican, 346-3000, Tenemos a Luis Martinez. We'll be right back right here in WYSL.
In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified general or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
Hi, my name is Greg Sadwick, and along with my son Zach, we are the owners of Flower City Collision. We've been advertisers on WISL, the voice of liberty, for the last couple of years. So I want to thank the listeners of WISL for their patronage, which has allowed us to grow and reinvest in the latest technologies to ensure that your vehicles are repaired to the most current standards, whether conventional or EV. If you're in a collision, reach out to Zach at Flower City Collision in Henrietta, and he'll work with your national insurance company on your local behalf to ensure that your repair gets done right.
Baseball, hot dogs, and the American flag. They're all part of the rich fabric that makes our country great. Show your American spirit by purchasing your flag from the Stars and Stripes Flag Store today. When you do, you are supporting critically needed services for local veterans at the Veterans Outreach Center. Let's show our veterans that we care by placing our nation's symbol on the porch of every house in our community. The Stars and Stripes Flag Store, 783 South Avenue.
Now that the good weather's back, you'll want to make sure your vehicle is in tip-top shape. Whether it's for the daily commute or that vacation you're planning, for quality, affordable vehicle service, rely on Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge Road. Rock Auto has what your car, truck, or SUV needs. Oil change, brake service, suspension, or front-end work, exhaust, air conditioning, and tires. Check their Google reviews as one of Rochester's best for customer satisfaction. Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge, just east of Mount Reed, 434-5010.
Next Steps with Peter Vasquez on the WYSL stations.
Welcome back to the Next Step Show, ladies and gentlemen. Si soy yo, tu conservative neo-Rican, y todavía tenemos aquí the honorable, el honorable, Señor Luis Martinez. But hey, I just got a text message from a listener just to clarify. They said that schools have curriculum committees. And this must be new because, again, when I looked at a couple of the schools a couple of years ago, they didn't. From the committee, they picked the curriculum. She says that the state lays out very broad outlines, leaving it open for interpretation, hence the SEL, the SEL curriculum, and that committees typically handpick to ramrod through the agenda wrapped around and then they wrap it in a pretty bow and so forth. So ladies and gentlemen, again, it boils down to this. Whether they have the curriculum committee or not, it is still dictated by the state. I want to shift to crime. We only have a few minutes left on the show. Anything on education you wanted to state real quick?
Well, just real quick. Remember this word, meritocracy. I was in a town meeting last night, and there were two people at the podium who are vying for to be on the Board of Education, and somebody in the audience asked, do you believe in standardized tests? I wanted to run up to the podium and said, definitely yes. Why? Because I believe in meritocracy and not in equity. Equity is equal results, and equal results are tyranny. You cannot dictate equal results. There will always be people with better qualities and better abilities than others in our society, and the only way we can continue to go forward is through meritocracy, not through equity, and certainly not through DEI. So yes, I believe strongly in standardized tests.
Interesting. I said we were going to move on from education, but community schools, I've got to ask you on this, okay? Because I believe that community schools kind of sets up what children need to fail, not to succeed academically.
I'll quote you on that one, okay? Because
But it's presented pretty, the trickery in politics. It's a set of partnerships, the foundation of mutual beneficial relationship between schools and community. Basically, they say it's to include things like health, mental health, youth development, academic sports, college, career readiness. I mean, even schools like Greece Central School that's adopted the community mm-hmm. school model are now bringing in clinics. Mm-hmm. Under this model, students will have the opportunity to be able, through these services there, to even sue
yep.
An absent parent for child support, which you tie that to the ERA, and the language in the ERA,
yep.
and you bring it all together.
Yep.
We've got a society that's becoming very much government
controlled. No, I disagree. We have some people who want this to become exactly that, a collectivist, another collectivist topic. You mentioned the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. It's nothing of the sort. The Equal Rights Amendment is an abominable measure that's coming out of Albany to get, just like Castro did, to get between the parents and the children, the students. So let me go back in history to something that all of you have seen. You know, when think about this image, if you drive around, like in places where I've been, there are these little red schoolhouses here and there. You know, some of them are being rehabilitated, some of them are actually occupied, some of them are neglected, but there's little red schoolhouses that were here 150 years ago. That's how education got started in New York. So now that's an extreme approach, that we can't go back to little schoolhouses. But on the other hand, I don't want to go to the other extreme, which is that the state governs what happens in every curriculum in every school. That should be parental control. Is there a happy medium? Yes, there is a happy medium. And we have enjoyed that happy medium such that we have the kinds of schools that we parents want, because we parents own the schools. Let me be emphatic about that, because I don't want to hear some administrator tell us that it's their school. No. We, the parents, when we go to a board meeting, we, the parents, own the schools. And those educators, and I've been, by the way, a guidance counselor. I have a master's degree in guidance counseling. So I have worked in schools, in downtown schools. So I will say to any one of those people on the boards are elected, but the people who are hired, the superintendent, principals, and all that, they work for us. We don't work for them. They work for us. So if we want things our way, we get things our way. We pay them to have things our way. If they don't like their job, they can go someplace else. They can go find something else to do. I am emphatic about that. And I want our parents in our district to be emphatic about local control of schools. Forget Albany, local control. We pay the taxes. We get to say what goes on. Thank you.
Oh, man, you're singing my tunes, Papa. I'll tell you. So, listen, we got a few minutes left in the show, and I want to kind of shift focus to crime, because, I mean, you can't get up and open up your newspaper and read, or turn on the TV and hear about just, you know, another murder, another bullet going through a house. And the thing is, it's not just the urban centers anymore. This is something that we're seeing in your neck of the woods, out in hoity-toity Pittsford, right? And I'm just picking on you. You know, but I can handle it. But we're seeing those. But, I mean, I get the bail reform. We talk about the Clean Slate Act. I mean, we've beat those. We've talked about them. I've had the sheriff on. We've talked about them. But yesterday, my guest talked about a farm that a lot of these legislators and people in office, appointees, are kind of coming from, which, in my opinion, is kind of leading towards the crime that we're seeing, or even things like the Clean Slate Act and bail reform, right? The state's under one-party control. And it just seems that everybody from the executive to the county clerk to those in the state house, for the most part, all seem to keep coming from the same farm, which, you know, the same Morelli type of farm, right? That keep perpetuating the same type of nonsense and corruption, which leads, I think, to these things, right? So if they keep the focus away from then on crime in the neighborhood by doing things that sound good, like bail reform, all while ARPA funds are missing, all while, you know, reported that $32,000 was missing from the clerk's office, but nothing, no accountability. Right. Can you do?
Since we have very little time for me to really react to that, but I think that what we have to ask, we should ask questions like this. The way I debate folks is I don't make statements. I question their motive. I question their rationale. So what's the rationale for less is more, this concept of that, letting people out without bail? What's the rationale for that? What's backing that up? What's the agenda that they have in mind? And if you look under the hood there and you start, what is it that's going on? You're going to find that there's some things that are either foundationally incorrect, I mean, no data to support it, or that they are really just feeding their ideological addiction, that whatever it may be, and I'm not saying that I know what it is, but if you ask them, they'll have to tell you, and then you can keep asking questions until they have to lie through their way through it, because there's no rationale. For example, defund the police. Okay, defund the police. Why? Oh, well, you know, you get some word salad. No, I will never vote to defund the police. I will always vote for law and order.
But yet, Morelli, the person you're running against, Jamie Romeo, the county executive, they were all sitting there with their legs crossed, all saying defund the police, and now the website. is martinezforsenate.com, correct?
martinezforsenate.com.
I'll have you on again soon. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here on the Next Step Show with Luis Martinez, candidate for the 55th New York State Senate District. Mira, don't forget, tomorrow, every day at noon, don't forget to call. We love ya. We'll be right back in about 24 hours. I need